Hi there, you guys, and welcome to this recording where we will be exploring the emotional pillar. This is part one of this section of the course Temple Body. And in advance, I'll just give you the heads up that I do have a little bit of a cold, so please excuse my if I'm a bit sniffy and snuffly. Okay, so let's look at the heart as a sphere. The heart, this emotional center that is a divine human heart. So just close your eyes for a second and drop your mind into your heart. Let your mind fall down into your chest. And start to breathe in and out from that space of your heart. And as you breathe, you can visualize the heart as a sphere of energy, a planet in itself, or an emotional, energetic world within you. This emotional, energetic world radiates out from the chest. So feeling this sphere of the heart, and now starting to become aware of a bigger sphere, planet Earth. Feel how planet Earth wraps herself around you and your radiating heart. Now feel yourself held by the material earth, the ground underneath you, and the obvious life that feeds you. But also by the more subtle aspects of earth, such as the air that we breathe. Prana, rich air, or the atmosphere that protects us. Or the gravity that helps maintain the structure here on Earth. And now come back to your heart and feel it beating inside the body. And feel it beating inside the Earth. Truly, this is a world within a world. Your heart is a world within a world. Now let's look at how the size of something relates to the force of it. So staying nice and relaxed, I'm just going to keep talking about that emotional sphere of the heart. In theory, if the heart is large, or if we have worked, loved, suffered, and stretched the heart to expand it to capacity, its gravitational force or pull should become stronger. The larger the planet, the larger the gravitational pull on its environment. And as the gravitational force or pull of the heart becomes stronger as we stretch it and expand it, the influence of the heart can reach out to others. So as the heart sphere expands, it pulls more things to it. Size relates to force. As our heart center expands, we are called to consistently recenter and rebalance ourselves. So the force is pure heart. Size relates to force. The more centered we become within our heart space, the more impactful we are. And the bigger the heart's energy, the more centered we must become. Balancing and expanding our heart sphere to ultimately assist the balance of all other worlds is necessary because, as we know, there are worlds within worlds within worlds. So think about this. The heart as a planet has a gravitational pull. A big heart is a powerful influence or a strong force of energy. So we all need to allow our hearts to expand, to grow, to feel more, to reawaken and re-energize itself, so the heart will reawaken and re-energize itself. We need to become more heart-centered because the heart connects us to the planet. And from there, out into the cosmos, the worlds within worlds that I'm talking about all start with a connection to the heart. So we cannot bypass the heart if we want to reach out to those worlds or to reach out to each other. The heart, you guys, is constantly electromagnetically attuning us to the field of our earth. No matter if we're aware of this or not, this is happening. So sometimes I wake up and I feel my heart stretching for no apparent reason, or I feel that an emotional process is happening that I can't explain. During these times, I'm reminded that I'm in a process, and we all are. We're all in a process with the earth. So I'm possibly feeling her adjustments as well as my own. During these times where the heart is stretching and there's an emotional process and I can't quite work out what it is, for clarity, I ground myself. I go outside, I ask the elements to work with me, I drop my mind into my heart and drop my heart into the earth and connect to Gaia's earth and the worlds within the worlds. Because, lovelies, the heart longs for connection, as does the earth. Connection to the earth initiates connection to the cosmos. Connection to the stars and planets initiates the understanding of our own soul. Stars and planets are memories of who we are and where we are going. So if we can connect with the unexplainable heart processes, we can connect to everything else internally and externally. So the attunement to the heart is the key to spiritually understanding ourselves and our world. The heart is key. So let's talk about fear now. You know, how does fear distort this process? Really, to connect is to overcome fear. Yeah, and let's consider the planets. Okay, so really hear me now and hear these words. The nature of my heart, your heart, and our planet's heart is love. We only connect through love. The nature of Gaia is love. There's a unique vibration to this earth plane that is love. And fear serves to separate, whereas love serves to connect. The nature of the evolved planet Earth is love. The nature of the evolved human heart is love. Love is what connects us to each other. Fear serves to separate. So it's difficult, if not impossible, to really connect to our Earth when we are in fear, especially if we're in fear of its demise. You know, take a moment now to recognize how much is pushed upon us as individuals when it comes to topics such as global warming, rainforest destruction, or unsustainable resources. of course, we must all be aware of the earth, not wasting her gifts, respecting her balance, of course. But most of the crimes against Gaia are caused not by the participating individuals within populations, but are caused by outdated systems of power on this planet and the culture of greed and power perpetuated by these systems. Those in charge of these systems must, as far as I can see, be in a state of utter disconnection from the heart. When we choose fear in any arena, we feed this beast, and only through love can we break it. Much of the pillage of the earth that we hear about is down to these systems rather than us as individuals, although we all participate with these systems to different degrees. So, in fact, when these systems place environmental blame and fear at the door of its people, it serves only to keep us disconnected from nature and compliant with their story of events and impossible solutions. Not all, but many of these solutions come from the systems that are criminal against nature. You know, so the solutions are coming from the systems that are criminal against nature, and for some strange reason, we think that will create change. Yeah, so let's repeat that. Not all, but many of these solutions come from the systems that are criminal against nature. So solutions to do with environmental blame come from systems that are criminal against nature, and we think that that will create change. You know, it makes me wonder about the ways in which this power play is being pushed. If these systems do want to maintain power, overplaying environmentalism is another way to keep us in fear and distort our connection. Please don't misunderstand, lovelies. I love nature. We all have a responsibility to her. And, you know, I'm aware of this all of the time, so I would consider myself an environmentalist. I'm really big on looking after our environment. But I don't always love the messages I'm fed through the artificial box that is my television. They don't feed my soul, like actually going out in nature and connecting to her. You know, and don't get me wrong either, you know, fear has its place. Fear is a useful emotion. It keeps us alive. But we're not meant to live in its shadow. It crops up when there's danger to move us back into safety and back into love, and that's its natural function. So when we're in relationship with the earth, what I'm trying to communicate here is the precedent, you know, the importance of our relationship being based in fear, in love, sorry, and not fear. And I see this so often, you know, like, that we've forgotten how to love nature. We've just learned how to be frightened of what we're doing wrong and what's going to happen to our planet and what, you know, when's it all going to run out and on all of that stuff. And it seems to me like an important distortion because it keeps us away from her when really, you know, we feed each other. We need to get closer to her. You know, and something in my heart, lovelies, well, you know, I can only connect to Gaia through love of Earth's abundance and actual physical time together. So kind of donating money to Greenpeace or sitting in my house watching wildlife on TV doesn't quite cut the mustard. Something in my heart is what I was going to say, tells me that if humanity does mess up the balance between humanity and the planet, then Earth will recover. You know, and it always makes me wonder about how much this environmental fear is born of fear for ourselves and how much of it is really born out of fear, you know, caring about our beautiful mother Gaia. my point here, lovelies, is not to rant on about anything, and not to make anybody wrong, because I think there's a lot of good people that try to, you know, initiate change in this relationship. But my point in this course, when I'm talking about the heart and its relationship to Gaia, is that fear disconnects and love connects, and we need to be connected to her. It's part of it's like our battery system. It's part of our power to be connected to our planet. Fear disconnects and love connects. So the sphere of the heart is only ever a powerful influencer in purest form and for the highest good when it's fully connected to love and not running from fear. So if we want to look after our planet, and we really want to do that, and we really want to be an influence for that, we have to remember we have to come from love and not from fear. So that was a little segue there, but back to the heart and to Gaia and to the worlds within worlds. We have to really start loving nature again, you know, really feeling her through the heart, reconnecting, resourcing, re-loving, reintegrating. I can't stress this enough, that the importance of this natural loving connection is foundational for everything. And strong foundations make a strong temple, you guys. Our emotional center, which is the heart, needs that connection now more than ever. We need to be held. So I do understand, saying all of this, that fear can be born out of love. You know, it's so true. You know, we can love our children so much that we're scared to let them out of the door, that kind of thing. You know, we can love our planet so much that we're scared for its future. Yeah, of course. But lovelies, fear born out of love is still fear. And if we hold it there for too long, it will create a distortion in our system. And it will make us less impactful. So this cannot be overlooked. And this fear that we feel has to be transmuted. Any fear that we feel in the heart has to be transmuted into the light. You know, when I feel fear in my heart, I just say, you know, I transmute this fear into the light. I release this fear into the light and come back to love. So yeah, like I said, as a mother myself, I routinely, like all mothers, feel those little pangs of fear that I have for my children, you know, when they go out of the door every day. But I'm constantly pulling myself back to love and to trust, because I don't want to give them my fear. You see, I only want to give them my love. And only my love will help them to grow strong. So even when I am being that kind of worried mother, I will always remind them that this is coming from love, even though it sounds like fear. It is fear, but it's coming from love. And I want to stay with the love. And usually that dissipates any kind of argument between us where they feel, you know, overwhelmed by my worry for them. So my overriding point here is we can't connect to ourselves or to anything else or anyone else if the heart is in fear, because the nature of the heart is love. So if the heart is in fear, you know, we're not in our true nature. So it's really difficult to connect, if not impossible. You know, our ability to make decisions and discern energy is so impaired when we are in fear, because we've come away from our power or our inherent nature, which is love. So if we want to be powerful, you guys, we have to be loving. We have to come back to the heart. We have to, you know, just keep checking in with that heart center, that it's not being overwhelmed with fear, and it's coming from that loving place, because that loving place is a place of connection, which is ultimately a place of power, which is ultimately expanding the heart, which gives us more clout, really. It gives us a stronger, a bigger field and a stronger pull and more influence. So, yeah. Okay. This reminds me of a story. Okay. A story about a first American chief that was talking about a Western man, about the white man, really. He was saying the white man is mad because he thinks from his head. And he was telling this to a psychologist. I think it might have been Carl Jung, but I'm not sure. But he explained that the psychologist said, you know, what do you mean he thinks from his head? What other way is there to think? And the chief pointed to his heart. Because this chief thought from his heart, you see. His heart was so connected that he could think big, generously, expansively, inclusively, because his heart was in his natural state. So to him, the white man appeared, you know, crazy, deranged, greedy, grabby, because he thought small. He wasn't connected to his heart, therefore he was seeing the world through a distorted lens. He was short-sighted, if you like, and exclusive, because his heart was in an unnatural state, of disconnection and fear. So to this chief, who was in his heart center and in his power, this white man looked mad. You know, and sadly, that the condition of the white man really. I think what the chief said was something along the lines of, you know, he's always looking to the next thing, and his eyes are crazy, and he's, you know, he looks scared, he looks worried, blah blah blah. And there was a whole conversation that went on between the chief and the psychologist. But you can get the idea, I'm sure, from what I'm saying. And sadly, the condition of the white man is now rife in our world. You know, some human beings have moved so far away from their heart that they've actually become more like giant heads. You know, we've put so much emphasis on the brain and the mental body. And in a way, when we do that as human beings, we're turning ourselves into like aliens, really, from this planet. We're alienating ourselves from the planet. We become alien beings. As I was writing this, I was thinking, oh my God, you know, we are the greys. We are those, you know, the archetypal alien with a huge head. And seriously, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if this is where we're headed, if we stay too far away from our hearts, if we are led by fear and we reject love, is we're coming away from our natural state, so we can't evolve. So there's a devolution that happens through this state, you know, and an unnatural state. You know, we're not evolving, we're devolving. And as we do this, we're coming away from our organic state and becoming more reliant on technology, because we haven't got the heart's wisdom. So we're Googling, we're pressing buttons to understand our world rather than feeling our world and connecting to it. So eventually this devolution would lead to like an unnatural, technologically perhaps advanced race, devoid of human hearts, so organically devolved. So those grey aliens that we see with the big heads could easily be us in a future timeline if we're not careful. Who knows? Who knows? Maybe we visit ourselves. I don't know. But this is what I'm saying, you know, humanity needs to nurture the intelligence of the heart and the emotions. If we're ever to reconnect fully to ourselves and to the worlds within the worlds in an organic way, humanity has to do this. We have to reconnect to the heart. It's all happening through that center of the heart. Humanity has a natural capacity to connect to the cosmos. As I said, we connect to the earth and the earth connects out into the cosmos through the doorway of the human heart. We don't need a spaceship, you guys. Beings that do are not actually as evolved as we are. They haven't organically evolved. And it's my true belief that, you know, if we all can connect to the heart and do more of our inner work and raise our vibration, move into our higher self, that we can go out into these worlds within worlds within worlds. We can travel through the cosmos without ever needing a spaceship. So while we're on the subject of spaceships, I mean, we're really, there's a lot in here. I want to give a little nod to the there's quite a lot of disclosure happening to do with extraterrestrials or, you know, UFOs, unidentified flying objects. You know, the army and the military are coming out saying that they've seen things and blah, 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 and all of that. My feeling is this is only going to become more and more publicized as time moves forward. So extraterrestrial disclosure could well become another external preoccupation that puts power outside of ourselves, you know. And this is my feeling, it's almost like another thing that we say, wow, that's great, and we forsake ourselves for that thing. You know, as I was writing this, I was getting really strong messages that go within, the kingdom is within. So many of us are alien to ourselves. So the interest in aliens is like, we don't need to go far for that. It's the external reflecting the internal, really, you know, it's all mirroring each other. So, you know, remember that true emotional strength comes through the knowing of the self. For this, the mind drops into the heart and we feel the sphere of the heart inside the sphere of Gaia. And we feel connected and we feel open and, you know, we feel powerful. But when we're constantly looking outside of ourselves, you know, trying to work it out, getting into the head too much, you know, we don't feel how big we are. We feel smaller, and other things become bigger than us. Yeah. So just to continue just a little bit more in this section, notice when I talk about the chief, you know, I'm saying things like he thinks from his heart. Now, if you were an empath, you would naturally do this. An empath is somebody who has a huge capacity to feel. And when you're feeling, you're tuning into your heart center. An empath can attune into the heart and really feel both wisdom and stupidity. It's a vibrational thing. They can feel it as a vibration. And they can also really feel the emotions of others. Feeling emotion as vibration, empaths feel energetic resonance and dissonance. Empaths feel thought and emotional vibrations as energetic love or energetic violence. So it's common for the empath to feel others' emotions as well as their own. You know, and quite often discernment is the greatest challenge for the empath or for the mind of the heart. So basically, really, you guys, when you drop into your heart, you've got access to everything. And that's when you really need to start to discern what is yours and what is not. And when you drop into your heart, you start to feel more. And feel more, and this can be quite overwhelming. You feel not only wisdom, but you feel stupidity. You can feel that as a vibration. And it's a shortcut, really, because you don't have to figure it out. You can just feel it. You might not make sense to your mind, but you can feel it in your heart. Or you can feel when something's off or something's, you know, you can feel truth almost. It's like a truth vibration that comes through. You know, so discernment becomes a challenge for the empath or for the mind of the heart, because the heart has access to everything. And while I'm talking about this, it's important to realize that the mind is not bad. It's not that the heart is better than the mind. The mind, they work together in a more distorted way at the moment. That's all. The mind is not bad. The heart connects to the mind. So the empath needs this connection for that discernment of what is theirs and what is not. So we need the mind to be involved. Otherwise, we just get saturated with emotion. The chief needs this connection of his heart to his mind to decide what is right for his tribe. So he needs to feel with his heart, but he needs to think from his heart too. He needs the mind to be involved so he can discern and decide. And the mind of the heart helps the empath decide what is theirs and what is not. And the mind of the heart helps the chief decide what is best for everyone. So what I'm saying here is the emotional body appreciates the balance of a steady listening mind. And this steadies and strengthens the emotional body. This is why we want to stay out of fear, because when we're in fear, we can't think straight. There's no discernment. It's very difficult to discern. And sometimes, you know, so the mind of the heart needs that loving space too. And the emotional body appreciates the balance of a steady and listening mind. I can't stress that enough. As this steady listening mind strengthens the emotional body. So the mind strengthens the heart. And this is an example of divine masculine and feminine balance. The mind being the masculine that holds the heart steady and secure. And the heart is the feminine, informing the mind from a connected, larger perspective.